You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps and steps and steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, the Democratic House closes shop as Mitch McConnell doesn't have enough Republican votes to pass any type of relief bill. Meanwhile, new evidence to suggest we've undercounted the number of COVID deaths in this country. And Andrew Cuomo quashes an independent investigation into his decision to send COVID to nursing homes. Testing falls apart in Texas, and health officials are quitting across the country. New report shows millennials again taking the brunt of the economic pain. Joe Biden's VP pick to be announced any minute or hour from now. Meanwhile, Kodak shares plunge as Democratic lawmakers call for scrutiny of its sweetheart Trump administration loan. And corporatist Richie Neal throws the dirty kitchen sink at Alex Morse in an important primary race in Massachusetts' first congressional district. Lastly, Trump's EPA is lifting an Obama-era methane control in a boon. Boon or boom for climate change? All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Is it boon or boom? It's a boon, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's boon.
I can say boon.
You know, it's a boondoggle.
I think in the... Oh, no.
Yeah, it's boon.
Yeah.
What happened? Oh, Brendan. Oh, nothing. You were going to say, no, it wasn't. And then you just found out.
Oh, dear.
No. A boon is a good thing.
And it's a boon. Yes. Boon. That's what I'm saying. It's a boon.
Well, Sam was saying... Matt was saying boondoggle.
Well, boondoggle is the opposite of a boon.
You doggle the boon. Boon. Yeah.
Yes. Gotcha.
I should say, and you know, I should have done this yesterday, but I was not aware of it. So on Friday night, I was mocking Dinesh D'Souza on Chris Hayes' program because we all remember when Donald Trump said Yosemites instead of Yosemite because he was reading a teleprompter and he just, you know, or he was just shouting out, I don't know, maybe his, you know, his son-in-law's cousins or something. He also went on to say Thailand instead of Thailand. Maybe he had never seen the word in print. No, these mistakes happen, of course. You know, I certainly make mispronunciations all the time. But I did a bit on Hayes's about how Dinesh D'Souza was insisting that only troglodytes say Thailand, that people who are really intimate with the country say Thailand, which is not true by any stretch of the imagination. D'Souza himself had used the word Thailand in situations, and
that was before he went.
That was before he went. I went to Thailand to the extent that, you know, Thailand is obviously is more of like an English word anyways. It's or pronunciation. I mean, but they don't, nobody says Thailand. Nobody does. Doesn't happen. And so we did a little bit about that, about how embarrassing it was. Not so much that Trump made the mistake. That's fun to laugh at. But that, that there's such cultists out there that D'Souza will actually pretend like that's the right way to say it. And apparently in that segment, I said Ku Klux Klan instead of Ku Klux Klan.
Oof.
But
a lot of people say it that way too, though, I heard.
It's true, but the it's Ku also, it is Ku Klux Klan, but I said Ku Klux Klan. I think I didn't review the tape, but somebody accused me of doing it. It would be perfectly consistent with my ability to enunciate certain things. But here's the difference. Not only is there no one out there claiming that I didn't say Ku Klux Klan or that it's really Ku Klux Klan is the right way to say it, but I am myself acknowledging it. So I just want that for the record. I don't think there was anybody who is hearing my voice now or watching me was even aware of anything of what I was talking about, but I felt compelled to do it anyways.
Man, so we're going to have to send back these mock-ups that fans did for your new MSNBC show?
Oh my God.
That oh, you haven't hilarious. Seen that? That's
so funny. No, there's, I will make this absolutely clear. There is no chance of me doing a show on MSNBC. No chance. I mean, maybe 5-10 years down the road or something. I don't know, but I have no desire. But 5-10 years down the road, God help me. But I'm saying there is no chance of me doing a show for MSNBC. I would be shocked. There's been absolutely no conversations to that effect or any of it. It was just that I think what was happening at MSNBC was Ali Velshi is the only person who fills in for all the shows. And after it's been 10 years since I filled in for Obelman, and I think they finally were like, ugh, whatever, just let Sam do it one night. All right, let's get to this question. And since we are, I mean, we're all on pins and needles about the vice presidential pick of Joe Biden. And I do think, I mean, I don't think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. I think that would be the only pick that would be of any material benefit to progressives, at least. And I would argue, actually, even to the left of progressives, just simply because resources would flow into, if not Bernie people, but yes, certainly some Bernie people and Bernie adjacent people. And that's always good. Any flow of resources into even the general proximity of folks whose politics are at least somewhat aligned with yours is a good thing. That will not be the case with the Kamala Harris's or the Susan Rice's or I have no idea what would happen. Like this, you know. Does Bass have some type of like network of people? I don't think so. But we shall see. And with that said, though, Donald Trump had his favorite own reporter that is from One America Network News. And I can't remember her name. What is it? Chanel Rion? Chanel Rion?
Ryan.
Oh, Ryan. Okay. Trump, I wonder if there's coordination. I would be shocked if there isn't. But here is Trump. Here's that own reporter asking a very insightful question.
On OAN.
The on coronavirus, Mr. President.
OAN, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, thank you for coming back to finish the briefing.
Thank you very
after
much.
After the scuffle. So I have an opinion question for you.
Okay.
Joe Biden is set to announce his running mate at any time now. We expect him to announce her. Many of your supporters feel that the reason that Obama's former NSA, Susan Rice, is at the top of Biden's list is that she can best cover up a lot of the Obamagate surveillance crimes that have taken place during your campaign. What are your thoughts? What is your opinion? Do you subscribe to that line of thought? How do you feel about it?
Pause it. Well, I just want to make it clear what the question was. That is... Susan Rice, of course, would be, who is the former NSA under Obama, would be in the perfect person to cover up the Obamagate surveillance of you. And now this is what is known as like a setup question. It's going to give Trump. But I mean, just think about the premise. You're going to bring in someone into the that Biden's going to bring in someone into the administration. I mean, just want you to think about the premise within its own logic, within its own sort of like, you know, within their world. We're going to bring in the person. We're going to bring in the person who is responsible for the spying or whatever it is that they think happened under the Obama administration. We're going to bring that person in to do the cover up, and we're going to put them in the second most public position we can within the White House, right? We'll make them vice president, as opposed to sort of saying like, well, you'd be NSA head again. We're going to make them vice president so that they can do their cover up basically in front of the American public. That's the theory that she is asking Donald Trump to comment on. And here is his response.
Well, look, the Obama campaign spied on our campaign.
It was not a campaign.
And now let's see what happens to them.
Obama was not running for president.
They have been caught. They've been caught red-handed. It's probably treason. It's a horrible thing they did.
Probably
it probably
treason.
Never happened before. At least nobody got caught
Nixon,
doing it. But they
used
the intelligence agencies of our country to spy on my campaign. And they have been caught. And there are a lot of people involved. I don't want to say how much she's involved. Frankly, if he chooses her, that's fine. But that's a potential liability. We'll see. But President Obama knew about it. Joe Biden knew about it. Comey knew about it.
Pause it for one
Brennan
second.
Brennan Clapper.
Pause it.
Wow.
Of course they all knew about it. Of course they all knew about it. It was reported almost contemporaneously that Mitch McConnell said, if you go public and tell people that Russia is involved in our election and coming in on the behest of the Trump campaign, then I will claim that it's all about politics. And so they didn't say anything. Of course they knew about it.
It's a very weird laugh he gives after Comey. He rarely laughs.
Of course. Comey, who was, I mean, is the question, was the head of the FBI aware of the investigation? Yes, he was. In fact, you know, if you're going to investigate someone or some campaign like that, you really should bring in the top brass. It really should be compelling information that drives it. Continue.
Whole group, they all knew about it. Lisa Page and her lover struck. They all knew about it. And we have it documented. We have it in texts. We have it in all sorts of forms. They knew about it. It was a terrible thing. Should have never happened and should never be allowed to happen again to a president. This should never happen again. This was a setup like we've never seen. I think it's a political crime of the century. And they've been caught. So let's see what happens to them all. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that was, speaking of setup, I mean, the whole question was a setup. But now I don't know why Donald Trump would be aware of the investigation that is, you know, what they found at this point, right? I mean, it's Durham, the Connecticut U.S. attorney. It's reporting to Bill Barr. Maybe he's getting briefed on the investigation as it goes. Is there any way this is going to come out in October, Bill?
Here's a picture that Chanel posted to her own Instagram in March. So
there you go.
Interesting.
Yep. This is how I touch reporters.
love the press.
This is the press. It's talk about press. There it is. I hope that Joe Biden does not pick Susan Rice, if only so that she can have a less prominent position as she covers up the Obamagate scandal. But for other reasons too, I would prefer no Susan Rice. But we shall see, because you know what? The Biden campaign not listening to me. Haven't reached out. Haven't done any of that stuff. So it's been a little bit sad. Hey, folks, you know that there's no normal here, right? I mean, we have our new normal is that there's no normal. However, However, there may be never been a better time to learn something new because we have no idea what the new normal ultimately is going to be. And with thousands of options available, finding the best way to learn can be challenging. My recommendation, it's an app called Blinkist. Blinkist is unique and powerful. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on your pad or your, whatever you call that. Your tablet. You can use it on your computer. It takes the key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction books in 27 different categories and condenses them down into blinks, which you can read or listen to in just 15 minutes. Blinkist offers its members exclusive original podcasts from top authors and creative thinkers. You can also dive deeper into fiction, nonfiction audiobooks, full length, at a special discounted price. So over 14 million use Blinkist, and they do it to deepen their knowledge in topics spanning from self-improvement, management, happiness, and more. And for me, I've gone over this multiple times with you guys, but for me, I do it a little bit to deepen my knowledge in certain topics like self-improvement, although, you know, it's pretty tough to improve from my vantage point. But there are things that I have dug into. I highly tout the 4-hour work week. I learned a lot of like sort of 80-20 stuff from that, but I'm not going to read the whole book. And so I listen to it on Blinkist. You could read it on Blinkist too. I mostly listen, but sometimes I read. And you can check out a book like, let's say you're like, I should really know what Michelle Obama wrote, but I don't feel like reading the whole book. Well, congratulations, because Becoming by Michelle Obama is on that, is on Blinkist, or Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Then maybe you might want to dig into Rick Wilson's Everything Trump Touches Dies. I was just reading Ross Douthat on all, you know, what it says about all these Republican strategists who become never Trumpers. And this is a great way of getting sort of like primary source understanding from these sort of tangential things that other people are commenting on. You can use this Blinkist in a myriad of ways. And right now, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. You go to Blinkist.com/majority report. You get a free 7-day trial. And then if you like it, which I know you will, 25% off a Blinkist premium membership and up to 65% off audiobooks, yours to keep forever, Matt Leck. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/majority report to get 25% off a premium membership and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/majority report. And lastly, ExpressVPN. There's a VPN, which obviously protects your privacy and your security online, but you can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Yeah, right? You've seen all the American ones. So a bunch of us are stuck at home. It's only a matter of time before you run out of all your binge watch list stuff and on Netflix or wherever it is. But you could use ExpressVPN to binge shows like Doctor Who on UK Netflix. All you can do is fire up the ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. Boom. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. But it's not just Netflix, of course. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. ExpressVPN is ridiculously fast, so you can easily stream in HD. It's compatible with all your favorite devices. If you visit expressvpn.com/majority, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. It's an extra 3 months. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/majority. All right. And as always, all the links to our ads are in the podcast description and the YouTube description. Let's start off with this. Where we are now, August 11th, we are now almost 2 weeks out from when people ceased, all people ceased to get their extra $600 per week in unemployment benefits. And so we're basically headed into the last pay period where I think it's possible for anybody to have, or I should say the first pay period where people will not be getting that. Donald Trump announced Saturday at Bedminster or Friday. Friday he announced it. I think Saturday he supposedly signed these executive orders. We will go through those, but I mentioned them yesterday. Needless to say, they are horribly insufficient. And in fact, in some instances, may be completely a mirage. We will talk about that. But what's interesting is what's happening on Capitol Hill right now. Yesterday, the Democrats in the House basically said they're not coming back for any votes until mid-September. They're on recess. They had passed the Heroes Act. I don't know. What was that, like 6 weeks ago? The Heroes Act was their COVID relief bill. Some things in it were horrible. Some things were crucial. And they have decided to leave. There is some question as to whether Nancy Pelosi would come back if there was another bill passed by the Senate. But the Senate cannot pass a bill right now. Because Mitch McConnell, he's good at stopping stuff, not so great at cobbling together anything. You've got Ron Johnson out in Wisconsin saying, I'm glad, I hope we don't pass anything. He's one of the stupidest senators we have, incidentally. He said on a Friday interview with Breitbart News Tonight, I think I just proved my that statement, that he hopes negotiations stay broken down between the Trump administration and House Democratic leaders on a new pandemic relief package, given the trillions Democratic leader proposed in new spending. From my standpoint, the breakdown in the talks is very good news. It's very good news for future generations. I hope the talks remain broken down. Future generations are going to applaud the fact that we allowed people, millions of people to go hungry, millions of people to be evicted, millions of people to lose their health insurance, millions of cities and towns to cut services, to cut education, make it harder for kids to go back to school. Future generations are going to really appreciate this, is what Ron Johnson believes. And so here's Mitch McConnell complaining that what he's really saying is, I can't get anything passed in the Senate. He needs Democratic votes now.
Republicans wanted to agree on the things we could agree to. Democrats said, our way or the highway. Republicans wanted to send cash now, right now, for schools, testing, and unemployment benefits, and argue over state bailouts later. Democrats said nobody gets a penny unless Texas and Florida bail out New Jersey. That's their position. Nobody gets a penny unless Texas and Florida bail out New Jersey. So this is where we are. The previous UI benefits expired. The PPP closed its doors. Over the weekend, President Trump took steps to soften the blow of the Democrats' hostage tactics on American families who need help most. His decisions will help spare some Americans some of the pain from the Democrats' hostage taking. From the beginning, from the very beginning, Mr. President, our side has tried everything possible to find common ground and deliver more help. But the Democrats have said no. At least the American people know the score. At least they know the score.
Okay, so Mitch McConnell's out there. There's an argument, I guess, that if Nancy Pelosi was still in Washington, she could rebut that. But I also we're living in an era where I just don't think that anybody, the mainstream media is not buying that. 15 years ago, they would have lapped that up and they would have said Democrats are being obstructionist. Now there's still, the fact is Democrats have passed a bill. Like, we've gone over the HEROES Act many times before. There's a lot of really bad stuff in there, like extending COBRA. But there's also a lot of important stuff, like they like literally hundreds of billions for cities and states, among other things. It's a $3 trillion bill. Mitch McConnell cannot pass anything in the Senate. And unless Donald Trump and the Trump administration says you got to pass this. And there's been an interesting sort of dynamic that's been going on here. You remember Mark Meadows? He is the Freedom Caucus, former congressman. Sometimes people get him confused with who is the Jim Jordan, the wrestling coach who refused to do anything about the multiple students who came up to him and said, "We're being molested by the trainer." I guess because, they were having a good season. I don't know. But sometimes I get those two confused, Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan. Maybe both their names are alliterative and they're both Freedom Caucus guys. So Mark Meadows is not the former wrestling coach who did nothing about the sexual predator working amongst the students. However, he's also still not a terribly good person who has this attitude of, I would rather see people suffer than expend tax dollars to help them, I guess is basically what it comes down to. So Pelosi and Meadows have gone back and forth. Like, literally in these meetings, they've been gotten in fight over stuff about, you can't bring a phone in here and that type of stuff. Meadows, apparently, he's the chief of staff for Trump. Apparently, he is showing up at these meetings to babysit Steve Mnuchin. And it's not just because Mnuchin is not very bright, because I don't know that Meadows is particularly bright either. But a big part about it is that Mnuchin just wants to make a deal. He doesn't care at the end of the day about inflicting that much pain on the little people if it helps Donald Trump. And so Mnuchin is the only one that they can deal with, but Meadows has been there to essentially be a roadblock. Well, Politico is reporting this morning that Meadows is gone from the White House for a week. Is that what it said, Brendan?
Yep, that's exactly it.
And there is no explanation. We don't know if it's because he got COVID. We don't know if it's because Mnuchin came back and said to Trump, like, I can't make a deal with him in the room and we're going to get screwed. No deal soon. MM. Who's MM? Oh, Mark Meadows. Spoke with a couple of senior administration.
I think that's Morning Money.
Oh, Morning Money. Okay. So Morning Money. Spoke with a couple of senior administration officials who both said that they see little chance of a fiscal stimulus deal coming anytime soon. There are not likely to be any serious talks this week, partly because the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is out for the week, but mostly because the administration feels confident they have the upper hand politically following Donald Trump's executive actions. Now, that could be the case, or it could also be the case that they've got Meadows out of the way so they can actually make a deal with Pelosi. Because, I don't know, if Donald Trump was so confident about where he was on this, he wouldn't be talking about how Pelosi and Schumer were contacting him over the weekend when they weren't. So who knows? But Donald Trump's, maybe Donald Trump thinks that from a political standpoint, there's no pressure. But the reality is that none of this money that they're talking about in his executive orders are going to reach people. Reminder, he has the ability in the declaration of a federal emergency like coronavirus to tell the Treasury to postpone collecting taxes, right? I mean, our tax deadline was not April 15th this year. It was July, whatever it was, 15th. So they can say to the Treasury, do not collect these payroll taxes. But as I explained yesterday, if I'm an employer and I'm supposed to withhold 6.2% of Brendan's paycheck, I'm going to have to pay that. I'm going to have to pull that out of his paycheck in 6 months. And so I'm going to be pulling out, you know, 36, 42% of his paycheck in December. And Brendan's not going to like that. And so I may just say to Brendan, look, here's the deal. I'm going to put that money. You're not getting that money. I'm putting it in escrow because you're going to owe it later. And if you don't like it, take a walk. But that's what I'm doing. It's conceivable I'll just have the option. But even if I didn't have the option, I might still do it, try and get away with it for a while. And then if Brendan says, hey, Sam, what are you doing? And I'll be like, Brendan, look, let's be honest. I know you. Well, this doesn't work so well with Brendan. But you're not going to save that money to pay it later. You're going to go and spend it on all your, you know, fancy clothes and, you know, parties. And so many people will not even see that deferral of taxes to the extent that it's worth anything anyways. What good? It's basically it's a no-cost loan, but not enough money that you can go out and buy something that's going to accrue in value. No, it's just a low-cost loan, so you can go out and maybe help you with your rent a little bit, but we're not talking about much money here at all. And then they have sort of extended the federal unemployment aid to $400, except for only 300 of that is coming from Washington. The other 100 supposedly coming from the state. States have no mechanism in which to issue stuff like that. They have no extra money. So many of the states won't issue that extra money. And the $300 is supposed to be siphoned out of the DHS account. And it's unclear that he has the legal right to do that. It's disaster relief money. And then there is an option for some agencies to halt some evictions. And if I had to guess, I would say unlikely that's happening. And then the only thing that's even worth anything, I think, is that student loan payments are deferred until December 31st. But the debt is not canceled forever. And I don't know how the interest accrues over that time. But this is not going to minimize the pressure, if that's what they're thinking. Because people are going to be starting to hurt soon. Now, Mnuchin said the other day that they'd be able to turn around this unemployment stuff, you know, by Monday. Now he's singing a slightly different tune. Well, it's going to take a little while. This is going to be a real problem for people. And I think Trump is going to feel the pressure. We'll see. We shall see. All right. Let's, you know what? Do we have the... I'll take some IMs. I just want to say that after watching yesterday's show, that U.S. Post Office also delivers mail around the world to U.S. military. Good point. You guys have to watch Ben Shapiro's review of the new Cardi B music video. Ben is afraid of the P word. Yes, my understanding. Yeah, we will get to Ben Shapiro in just a moment, and we'll take some phone calls. The call lines are open. I'm going to open up the IMs. We'll do this for like 10 minutes in the freebie show. Also wanted to just actually, let me just do this too, briefly. The CDC has reported that there are 200,000 excess deaths this year relative to any other year so far. The official count of deaths from COVID is 160, 165 at this point. 165,000. we've talked about this in the past. Epidemiologists look at year over year figures to see if there's excess deaths. And the CDC has determined that there is. Now, these deaths could come from one of two things, or most likely come from one of two things. They come from COVID, or they come from people holding off on medical procedures that would otherwise catch other diseases because of COVID. The other thing to consider is that because there has been social distancing and because people were traveling less over the course of particularly March, April, May, getting in fewer car crashes and whatnot, that we also have probably a reduced amount of death as a function of people reacting not to getting COVID, but afraid of getting COVID. So it's very likely that there have been more or less about 30,000 people who have died of COVID that we have not recorded as having died of COVID. And we are now looking at a situation where people are starting to head back to schools. It was out of Georgia that not only did that school that had the photos end up having a bunch of cases, apparently there's a bunch of cases throughout their entire school system, and they've only been back for, I don't know, a week or two. The Texas is going to be a massive disaster, it's already pretty bad, but it's going to get worse. They have administered about almost half as many tests in the last week that ended than they did about 2.5 weeks ago. And at the same time, the percentage of tests yielding positive results has climbed by up to 20% on average in the week ending August 8th. So in other words, there are fewer people getting tested, but more of them are testing positive. And there should be really, there is no explanation for that other than people have just given up on the testing because maybe they're not getting it back early enough, or they're just, or the tests are not available. But more people, the positivity rate is going up. That is an indication that maybe things are surging a bit. Lastly, let me touch on this too. So everybody remembers the story of Andrew Cuomo sending COVID patients back to nursing homes to get care because there was a shortage of hospital beds early in the pandemic. Part of the reason why there was a shortage of hospital beds is that something like 10 to 20% of hospitals, public hospitals, were shut under Andrew Cuomo under the past 5-10 years in New York State. He defunded a bunch of these things, generally in lower income areas, generally, but around the state. Here is Andrew Cuomo on a phone call, and just basically, I will tell you what it is. It's a little bit confusing because it's one of those pressers, and you hear a lot of beeps coming on. The New York State Health Commissioner, Howard Zucker, just recently declined to testify at a state legislative hearing on nursing home policy that took place yesterday in New York State. Cuomo does not want this investigated because his decision led to thousands of deaths. And he's pulling what people might remember, a Moreland Commission on this. The Moreland Commission was set up to investigate corruption in Albany. That's the state capital of New York. Cuomo ended up shutting it down when they started to investigate him. Here is Andrew Cuomo on that call, arguing two things. One, nobody can agree on who an independent expert is, so we should not have an independent expert look at this. However, when his State Department looked into it, the State Department of Health looked into it, what was the cause of the over 6,000 nursing home deaths in New York? They found that Cuomo did nothing wrong, of course, and said that that report had been reviewed by what he called credible industry experts. Coincidentally, those healthcare industry leaders and experts who oversaw it have close ties with Cuomo's administration and have benefited from its policies and contracts. That's according to the Times Union. Play this clip.
Look at the basic facts on where New York is versus other states, right? You look at where New York is as a percentage of nursing home deaths, it's all the way at the bottom of the list of states. So I don't think anyone, you know, what's political, what's not political, everyone can make their own decisions.
But why not one of the panel of experts who ostensibly would not be political at all, would be trusted by Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, to investigate what exactly happened in nursing homes?
Yeah, there is no such thing as a person who is trusted by all Democrats and Republicans. That person doesn't exist. The Department of Health, those are just numbers. Their report are numbers. You can see what you want in the numbers, but the numbers are the numbers. You can politically spin numbers, but those numbers are numbers. And as you know, the Department of Health review was then reviewed by credible industry experts.
Credible.
Right? So to your point about why don't you get independent experts to review the numbers, we did. Well, people don't think they're independent experts. Yeah, I know, because nobody's ever going to agree on who an independent expert is. Everybody has their own expert, right? Everybody has their own opinion.
We can pause. We don't need to hear any more of this. This is the classic play, right? Like, there are no facts. Everybody has their own facts. There's no such thing as an independent. Well, you know what? It's not a question of someone being independent from everybody. It's being independent from him. I think everybody can agree on somebody who is independent of Andrew Cuomo. But the credible experts, unnamed, just buddies of his, who have looked at the reports from his Department of Health, say it's okay. So we should just accept that, because nobody can accept the idea that there's independent anything anyways.
Epistemological Cuomo over here.
There you go.
I'm glad they looked into it.
Exactly. Can we really know what time is? Can we really know what time it is? I don't think so. There's Andrew Cuomo. We can never really know if he screwed up.
Honestly, the numbers are the numbers. That when he gets into the bit about numbers, it's very philosophical. I start thinking about math differently.
Yes. Yes, it's brilliant. Let's go to the phones. Calling from a 308 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 308? 308. I hear somebody. All right. Let's go to calling from a 409 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Sam, this is Mr. Toro from Texas.
Mr. Toro from Texas, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Sam, thanks. I've got a perspective on this. I wanted to get your opinion on it. You know, a lot's been made of the leadership faults, and no doubt there's been a lot of faults collectively to go around, from governors to the president to the federal government. But I'll tell you one thing, here in Texas, you know, there's also an issue, Sam, with just collectively as a people, we have failed just on an individual level by our actions. And I don't hear that talked about as much. You know, I think, obviously, I take that with the Clinton administration or Biden administration or Sanders administration or whatever, we would have a better response, no doubt. But there would still be some people, and I can tell you, I know I'm here in Texas, that would not be collectively coming together to beat this thing back. And so I haven't heard that perspective talked about, and wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. I think the numbers would be less, right? Like, I mean, like this is the dynamic. When you have a federal, a complete vacuum of leadership on something, of course, there's more latitude for people to be stupid about it. And there's more to hang their hat on to be stupid about it. No doubt. But and look, I will be the first person to criticize the American public and people who are just being idiotic about this. But part of it is there is a total lack of leadership. Like, you know, like for instance, I happen to think that the best thing that we could do in terms of schools in areas where you have an R naught that's below one, like we do in New York, for instance, the best thing we can do is just do K through five, maybe even K through four. You don't have any of the other kids go to school. You use those facilities to spread out the K through four, K through five kids. You send them every day. You keep them with one or two teachers, period, in one room all day, period. And I think that's the safest thing to do, frankly, in terms of minimizing the spread of COVID and keeping teachers safe. Like these pods that exist outside of school. Like when you send the kids to hybrid, for instance, you're basically creating two different network streams because the kid needs to do something the next day. And I don't know if the idea is that the parents are going to go to work on the days that the kid's in school. It's just, you got to get a babysitter or you don't get a babysitter. And then, you know, like it just becomes brutal for the kids. And inevitably what's going to happen is they're going to go and they're going to get into, you know, other like play groups or whatever it is. There's going to be a lot of that goes on. And then the teachers who are coming in, they're being exposed not only to their classroom, but everybody that their classroom's being exposed to. And so I just don't think it's as safe, but at the same time, like I don't know if I could blame, you know, the schools for or the DOE in New York for not doing that because parents have no information and it just sounds intuitively scarier, it seems. And I may be wrong too in terms of my theory about what could happen. But the point being that there is within the absence of a trust agent, in this instance, a federal government that people can actually believe in, this is what you're going to get. So yes, and I would imagine in Texas, it's even worse because you've got your lieutenant governor and your governor out there saying that, like, you know, we don't have to worry about this. And old people, they can just take one on the chin for everybody else. So appreciate your call, Mr. Toro. Let's take one more phone call. Call from a 210 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Good afternoon, Sam. This is John from San Antonio.
John from San Antonio, a special freebie for first half appearance for John from San Antonio.
Yeah, today is primary day in Minnesota, and the squad member, Ilhan Omar, should cruise to victory just like AOC and Rashida Tlaib. Ilhan Omar is leading by 37 points in a change research poll conducted in early July. 74% of Minnesotans living in District 5 approve of her in that poll, while only 17 disapprove. I can make a strong case that this district is the most progressive district in the country. Before electing Omar, Keith Ellison held this seat for six terms. This seat covers the city of Minneapolis and constitutes, and constituents are 63% white, 17% black. Omar has a well-funded opponent, Antoine Melton Mew, who's raised $4.1 million, most of it from pro-Israel bundlers. But Omar's raised $4.2 million from individual donors. So last Tuesday night before the results came, the New York Times was making highly questionable statements, like Rashida Tlaib is in for the fight of her political life and faces a tough primary fight. I mocked him on Twitter hours before the results came in. And several primary, left-wing journalists and activists said the same thing. So today I'm seeing the exact same thing. Politico saying Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez survived her primary. Rashida Tlaib did too. And then Mike Kafka tweeted, yeah, she won by 35,000 votes. Both of them won by over 35,000 votes. AOC won by 57 points, Tlaib won by 33 points. And so It's just
by the skin of their teeth. By their skin of their teeth. By the skin of their teeth. Well, you know what? Listen, I got to be honest with you. You know, I mean, it's look, anything's possible, right? $4 million, a lot of money to sink into that campaign. But I'm not convinced that, I mean, let me put it this way. If, I mean, reporting after the fact that they survived their primary when they won by that big a margin is ridiculous. But if I thought that I was going to win by that type of margin and I was running this campaign, I might convince a reporter to like, you should really write about all the money that my opponent has. Make it seem like this could be a tough race. Because if I come out 35 points ahead, that makes me look even stronger, right? The expectations were, and I once again foiled the expectations. I don't know if things get that sophisticated. But yeah, there's a real desire to make it seem like these people are not popular in their districts. But I mean, the fact of the matter is they are. And they are probably will have, you know, they have a district that frankly is a little bit probably more conscious of what their representatives are doing these days, just by nature of how politicized things have become and how much media there is. And there is a real fear, I think, amongst the establishment, broadly speaking. And I mean this in terms of like journalistic and in terms of political, that this movement that is taking place where you start to see blue state, blue district representatives defeated by more progressive, more leftist challengers, I think it scares them. I think it scares them because I think it scares them, A, because it's a loss of power for some of these people. I think it scares them because there are corporate interests out there who are like, we've got some problems. And then I think it scares, you know, some of the in the media because it makes them feel like they're out of touch with what is happening politically. And they don't want to feel that way. Nobody does. So, John?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, could I just add, a Kaika Hale won also on Saturday in the 2nd District of Hawaii, big improvement over Tulsi. Beth Dolio in the 10th District of Washington made it to the general election from last week. And today, Lisa Ring is in a runoff. She's a good progressive, supports in the 1st District of Georgia, supports Medicare for All. Last time she was endorsed by Justice Democrats. And, hopefully she'll join a good list of red state progressives who, even though they're, down between 29 and 15 points, could make it either really close or who knows. I mean, this could be a blowout election. I mean, it really could be. And, we could see a lot more House seat flipping than people realize.
Yeah, I think so.
Some of those may be progressives,
I can't wait to, we'll wait and see about that. But, I feel like Brandon Straka's walk away program is just not going that well. John, let me ask you one more question. Who's going to be the vice president nominee?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
I hope it's bad.
Don't tell me who you hope it is. Who do you think it's going to be?
Probably Harris.
I agree.
Probably Harris. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, John.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. All right, folks. You got a special treat today on the free half. John from San Antonio doing a call-in. That is a special treat. Great time for me to remind you that you can support this program by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. And join the Majority Report. Not only do you support the free half of the show, you get extra content every day. Just about every day. Yeah, every day. More or less every day. Just for literally, I think it's like comes down to less than two quarters a day. 38 cents, something like that. I don't know. So check that out. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, sign up for the AM Quickies. Just subscribe to it. It's free. 6-7 minutes in your mailbox, in your email, in your podcast server every day. And you can You can watch it on YouTube, too, if you want, on our Majority Report Live YouTube channel. That's our second backup channel, secret channel, secret back channels, if you will. Also, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY and get 10% off. You can check out our merch at shop.majorityreportradio.com. Brendan, what's the update on the posit material?
It's pretty much ready to go. Just your sign off, and we'll.
What, are you waiting for my sign off?
No. Oh. I think we can launch it whenever. I think they're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you have my sign off. Let's do it. All right. There we go. See, this is how we do things around here. That's how smooth things run. Meanwhile, Nomi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hot. It is so muggy outside.
You don't have your air conditioning on?
No, because I have to deal with the noise. If I start dripping.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We plebs here don't have that fancy air conditioning that the.
Well, there's ways of getting around that. I can tell you. You gotta blast it, and then you turn it off right before you go on.
That's how hot it is. I did that.
Nomi, what's on your show this week?
So this week we have Ken Klippenstein talking about the surveillance or the DHS investigation, those names that were listed. He did this piece in The Nation a few days ago.
Blockbuster piece.
Blockbuster. Yes. And I can tell you that one of the people who's in that piece is, we're going to have him on as well as this little extra on Patreon if you guys want. This is somebody who fought ISIS, actually, strangely enough, a friend of mine. Very, like, unknown person.
I know that. I he was written up in that, too. He had that great comment about, like, you know, the least they can do is not call Reds anarchists.
No, that was Brace. He's not a podcast host. This is a guy who's just, like, an activist and a writer and a thinker.
Guy. Okay.
And I just, strangely enough, knew him, and I read it, and I was like, what the heck? So we're going to interview him later. But this week, it's Ken Klippenstein and then Jonathan Hirschman, who's part of the Jaffe Tenants Association. They're doing great tenant organizing in Brooklyn. And so I've been getting a lot of messages from people saying, like, help us out. We need to understand what we can do, what we can legally do. Obviously, it's state by state. So it's an interesting interview. But the big piece of news that I have to announce is that next week is the DNC. And we're going to be doing special coverage every single day on our channel, The Nomi Key Show, at 3 p.m. from 3 to 4, covering the DNC, what's happening. It's very confusing because it's all going to be on Zoom, pretty much. So
the whole, yes. So it's going to be a Zoom within a Zoom type of situation. Yes. We will talk about that, too, because we may have you guys do some special coverage for us on the Majority Report, too. Additional stuff. We'll see about that. But all right, that's very exciting. And folks, don't forget the Antifada. Jamie's got a bunch of new content over there. You can check it out, patreon.com/theAntifada. Matt. What's happening tonight on TMBS, on your standing desk? Look at that. Matt's got a standing desk now.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
And he's so smiley about it.
He's pretty excited. Look at him. He's blushing. He's blushing.
You need the treadmill desk, though. That's the real one.
That's the next step.
You need it in COVID times.
We can't hear you. You're muted. He's so... why are you going to go all the way over there for to turn that on?
It's on the soundboard.
Oh, all right. You got a you may want to work on
the mute button.
And being able to get to like your soundboard from your standing desk.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, tonight on TMBS, Dr. Drew Mikhael from Queen's University Belfast. He's a research fellow there. He's going to talk to us about the Beirut explosion and the civil sort of, I'd say more than unrest. The people are very, very angry there. He's going to clue us into what's going on there. And kind of a normalish show, I guess, normal format. Alicia Brooks will be joining David Griscom and I, and we'll have the economic minute and that sort of stuff again. And we'll have a post game tonight too with some friends to celebrate. It's Michael's birthday, so we're going to do some like celebration type of thing over it. So there'll be some friends in the post game, and we'll announce those later.
Yeah, somebody said wanted to know what we're going to do on Thursday. Thursday is his actual birthday, right? The 13th.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And 12th is tomorrow. Thursday is the 13th. So maybe Matt and Jamie and Matt will Matt squared and Jamie. We got to come up with a little.
Yeah, we've been trying to do that on the show actually, and probably took too much airtime doing it. But
all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half of the program, 646-257-3920. We already have 24 callers on the line, so but you can IM via the app at majorityapp.com. See you in the fun half.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Back, 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 back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back. Back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Back, 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 back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back. Back, back, back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back. Back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost as what?
The alpha males are back, 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 back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back, back, back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ the Anarchy song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck! Reminder!
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych! Fuck them! Fuck them!
Almost has what?
What?
Almost has what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. Hell of a lot of bang. Hell of a lot of bang.
All lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
The alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black African. And the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black.
See Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think...
So listen...
...be taken over by jihadists. Keep it at 100. Cannot hustle.
Come on! Fuck them. Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday!
My birthday!
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy.
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black.
Come on. What? Come on. What? Come on. Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy, 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 pussy.